The dark clouds of suffering and persecution for the people of Israel are beginning to gather. Pharaoh has just commanded that Hebrew baby boys are to be thrown into the river, essentially sacrificed to the Nile River God and his servants, the crocodiles. Now, chapter 2 and verse 1 reads, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son." Now, we're going to learn later on the names of these parents are Amram and Jochebed. We're going to also learn later that this couple already had a daughter named Miriam, and they had a 3-year-old boy named Aaron. Now, verse 2 tells us that when Moses was born, his mother saw that he was a fine child. Some versions translate it, a beautiful child. That's kind of an interesting expression. You know, I've seen a lot of newborn babies over the years of my ministry, and I frankly wouldn't call any of them beautiful, not even my own children. And that could get me into a lot of trouble with some new mother in church, you know, who brings her baby waiting for me to comment. So what do I do? Well, years ago, I adopted the practice of J. Vernon McGee, who would look down at that baby and then say, "Well, now, that's a baby." Well, I've been saying that now for many years, and it's kept me out of hot water. Now, was it that baby Moses, you know, he's so physically impressive that he's beautiful? No. In fact, Stephen's sermon over in Acts chapter 7 helps us by adding the phrase that Moses was beautiful in God's sight, Acts chapter 7, verse 20. In other words, God is providing some information about this little boy's future role in Israel, which is why in Hebrews 11, 23, we're told that Moses' parents hid him in faith. See, they're believing what God has evidently revealed to them about the future role of Moses, even though we're not told what he revealed to them here in the record of Scripture. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us that Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. Now, how in the world do you hide a baby boy for 3 months? Frankly, for 3 hours. Well, it's possible, I guess, that she tried to pass him off as a baby girl. We're not told. But we are told in verse 3 here that after 3 months, she could hide him no longer. Amram must have been off building one of those storage cities for Pharaoh, unavailable to help her. So Jochebed comes up with this plan on her own, no doubt impressed on her by the Spirit of God. Verse 3 tells us what her plan was. "She took for him a basket made of bulrushes," that's papyrus reeds, "and daubed it with bitumen and pitch." Now, bitumen was a natural petroleum product, and pitch was tar. And they were used in the ancient days to not only make things waterproof, but also to repel the crocodiles. So she's not just throwing a little basket together. We're told then in verse 3, she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Now, the Hebrew could read, she stationed it among the reeds. This is not random. She knows this is where Pharaoh's daughter comes to bathe. We know from history there was a royal bathhouse built down by the river. It's very possible then, given what happens next, that this particular daughter of Pharaoh is unable to have children. Everybody in that region knew exactly where she went to bathe and the rituals that she would have gone through in hopes of having a child of her own. You see, the Egyptians believed the Nile River was the source of fertility. Isn't it interesting that one of the few people in Egypt who could override the command of Pharaoh and spare Moses' life would have been the daughter of Pharaoh? And I don't think for a moment that Jochebed doesn't know this. Beloved, faith doesn't mean you stop thinking or planning. Faith is making plans and giving God the final say. Now here, verse 5 tells us what happens next. "She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'Well, this is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Now, I don't think Moses is crying here at the top of his lungs. She might have put the lid back on the basket if that were the case. I think this is one of those pitiful cries, a little baby whimpering and sniffling, and that moves you to sympathy. My two daughters had that technique mastered. It didn't seem to affect their mother, but it sure got to me. Well, when that basket's opened, at that moment, God brings together that little baby's whimper and a woman's heart. In fact, ancient Jewish sources add that she stood there with her maidens wondering how she would be able to keep, how she could feed this baby if she kept him alive. Well, that's probably true. And right about then, according to the plan, little Miriam, you know, she's been watching over there in the bulrushes. She runs up and says to Pharaoh's daughter here in verse 7, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Now, I got to tell you, I don't think Pharaoh's daughter is surprised at all by Miriam's appearance. This Egyptian princess is no dummy. She probably knows immediately what's going on here. But again, God is the one who will turn this woman's heart so that instead of feeling manipulated, she's moved with compassion. Verse 8 tells us, "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.'" So get this. Jochebed gets her baby boy back and is now going to be paid to nurse him. How great is that? Moses will eventually grow up in the palace of Pharaoh, educated and instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, we're told in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. He's being prepared by God to one day lead the Israelite nation out of Egypt. By the way, do we know what happened to this daughter of Pharaoh? Well, God evidently wasn't finished with her. In fact, many Bible scholars following rabbinic tradition believe that her common name was later changed to Bithia, which means daughter of Jehovah. And if you take the time to read through all those names in the book of 1 Chronicles, you'll find this particular gem in chapter 4. It says in verse 17, "These are the sons of Bithia, the daughter of Pharaoh, whom Mered married, and she conceived, and bore Miriam, Shammai, and Ishba." I believe this is the same daughter of Pharaoh. She ends up not only raising a Hebrew boy, but marrying a Hebrew man who's from the tribe of Judah. And we're also told in that text that they had several sons as well as a daughter. And what did the daughter of Pharaoh name her daughter? Miriam. No doubt in honor of that little girl who was the first person to introduce her to the people of God. Now, the Bible doesn't give us the details about her conversion to the God of Abraham. Perhaps it was the testimony of Jochebed, or perhaps it was long conversations with her adopted son Moses. But eventually, she no longer wanted to be known as the daughter of Pharaoh. She wanted to be known, and she adopted a name that meant that she was the daughter of the true and living God. Wow. You never know, beloved, how God will use your testimony in the life of someone who seems absolutely unreachable. Just keep living for Him. Keep telling others about Him. And leave all the rest to Him. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.